You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, from BetQL, it's time for the Daily Tip with Michael Jenkins.
Dang it, he's talented, and let's be honest, I go for ambition, not luck.
And Chelsea Messenger.
Don't kill the messenger, or the messenger will kill you.
Hey, Dad, don't forget about me, the dogster.
Presented by BetMGM.
And we are off hour three of the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Good morning. I'm Michael Jenkins, live in D.C. She is Chelsea Messenger, live in Nashville, Tennessee. Coming up in our final hour, we get things started with what we like today in Major League Baseball. That is followed by more Hoops at 8:20 when we look at tonight's two games on the NBA playoff schedule. And then at 8:40, our best bets, along with the Dogster. Chelsea, the Washington Nationals used to play at RFK Stadium here before they moved into Nats Park. I remember going to games there. Well, now RFK Stadium here in the District of Columbia has gotten the go-ahead to be demolished, which is good news for a couple reasons. Number one is that stadium needed to go. That old Butte. I've had some good times there, but her time has come and gone. And also, if you're looking ahead to a potential stadium deal for the Washington Commanders, this is the first step in what will be a very long process of eventually getting the Commanders back in D.C. So it's good on a lot of levels. But I have some great memories of RFK. This is how I know I'm getting old. I feel a little verklempt. It needs to go. The stadium is old. But I also had some awesome times at that stadium over the years. Have you had, what's the look on your face? That I had a good time at
what
a bad
stadium? What did you say? Verkempt? Verklempt. I've never heard that word.
Oh, yeah. It just means like choked up. Or I can't speak. I'm so emotional.
Day.
Yeah, there you go. I had some awesome times at RFK. Back in the day when DC United played at RFK, I was a sideline reporter for a while, but I was also a member of the Screaming Eagles, which is one of the fan groups there. And let me tell you, best fan experience in D.C. Chelsea, we would go, my friends and I, hang out in the RFK parking lot before games. You would pay $10, and it was all you could eat and all you could drink. And everyone, volunteers, would make burgers, brats, chicken tenders, you name it. Like, you would have these huge buffets, and then local craft breweries would show up, and you'd eat and drink as much as you wanted before the game for $10 and then go see a soccer game for the cheap. It was great.
Well, you had me a buffet. You know, I love me some buffets. Mm. And then craft beers, yeah, completely sold. But I always wonder this, and I'm not an architect or an engineer, but why do they have to completely demolish these stadiums? You would think they could do some kind of fixer-upper, right? Mm. Like, why do they have to completely blow it up? Because they do this all the time. I'm
right.
Like, well, you can't just do something with the old stadium. What am I missing here?
What you're missing is that this stadium was built in 1961. So that is old, old, old. So on some stadiums, yes, there is enough in place where, okay, we can do something with this. But when you have a stadium that old, it's just not worth it. It's actually probably more cost-effective to implode the whole thing and start from scratch. And also, stadiums have evolved so much that retrofitting a stadium like RFK that was designed, in the mid to late 50s? Like, the design concept isn't even relevant anymore. So you'd really have to put in way too much work to make it feasible. And so I think that's why.
Oh, this should be a series on HGTV where they do like fix it up or buy a new one. Yeah. And they have like those two people come in. There's a show that's like this where I think people are looking for a new house. I think it's Love It or List It. Have you ever watched this show where they try to make their house livable by renovating it, or they can go buy a new house? And it feels like the girl always wins that renovates the old house. And I think it's because people have their memories in their house. And that is something that I know maybe like the piping and some of the stuff needs work. But I know in baseball, like that's not a thing, or else we would still have Yankee Stadium, the old one, because think of all the memories they have there. Like if Yankee Stadium didn't stand a chance with all of the history that they had there, what prayer do the rest of these stadiums have? Exactly. So I get it. If you have money, billions of dollars, like baseball is making a ton of money. So I get it. But still, I always think this, like there's some stadiums that probably could have just had a facelift. Like, didn't the Rangers do this? I feel like the Rangers had a really nice stadium. They're like, nope, we need a new one.
Yep. Well, that's true. And then also long term, there's more money to be made, I think, if you design it the right way. But the Rangers did surprise me, too. The best thing about RFK was, and this would only happen in an older stadium, right? Because it was kind of dark and dingy. And so they would stop selling alcohol around, I don't know, I guess with a few minutes left in the second half. But I'll tell you something. If you walked along the concourse enough, there was one small, little, very small refreshment stand or concession stand, and they always stayed open later. And you'd have to find them, and they'd be sitting there, and you'd walk around the corner like, yeah, get on in here. And they'd give you a beer, like, have a good night. I'm like, yeah, that would never happen now. But it was kind of like dark, kind of around a corner. I'm like, wait, you guys actually have a concession stand here? And every single time at the end of every game, they're like, yep. Sorry, guys, that's it. I'd be like, oh, no, there's one place here. There's one place here you can sneak in and get it. And that was awesome. That would never happen with a new place.
Ooh, that sounds like a fun scavenger hunt.
It was
like
great.
You have to find the one place that sells beer. I would be more apt to do that as opposed to like an escape room. Like, don't
find the beer.
Don't sign me up for that. Sign me up for like the one vendor that's still open for beer. Now that's motivation to finish the maze.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. Well, maybe you can do both, right? It's like you have to find the beer before you can escape. And if you don't, then you get stuck inside, Chelsea. Plenty of beers will be had today in Cleveland because the Tigers are in town taking on the Guardians. The Guardians are -120 on the money line. The Tigers are even money. Your total is 7.5. Jack Flaherty going for the Tigers and Tristan McKenzie getting the call for the Cleveland Guardians. Chelsea, please give me a winner.
I was kind of surprised to see the total on this one being so low. And maybe it's a testament to the pedestrianness of maybe the Tigers. And maybe there's still some faith in both of these pitchers, because Tristan McKenzie has had some starts where he's looked really good, but he's also had some starts where he has been far from good, even though the recent stretch has been pretty solid. Just coming off an outing where he went 7 strong against the Astros, only 2 earned runs, along with 6 punch outs. But Jack Flaherty is one of those pitchers where I feel like I never know what I'm going to get from him. He's somebody that falls under the category of guys like Andrew Heaney, of guys like, I don't want to see this as a slight, but kind of like Lance Lynn, where the strikeouts are always there, but sometimes he gives up the runs. But man, have the strikeouts really been there for Jack Flaherty. He has double-digit strikeouts in 2 of his last 3 starts, had 14 punchouts against his former team in the St. Louis Cardinals. So maybe there's the opportunity to possibly strand some base runners here. But I'll say this, it's not necessarily a good matchup for him, because if he's banking on striking out a lot of batters, the Guardians are one of the least strikeout prone teams in all of baseball. You look at them, they have the 5th lowest strikeout percentage in all of the majors, striking out just 19% of the time. But I know Jack Flaherty has some high-end stuff, so maybe it doesn't matter there, but I don't know. I think an over may be the play for me, especially with how hot the Guardians have been this year. But still, there's definitely some big sabotage factors looming, so it's not going to get the card for me.
I would lean Guardians on the money line just because I think there's value on this Cleveland team that has been great this season. They're 10-5 at home. I don't tend to trust Tristan McKenzie, but when you're looking at the bats here, there's no question that is a huge advantage for the Guardians. So just on principle, when you get Cleveland at -120 at home, Yeah, absolutely on the Guardians here. Brewers at the Royals, Chelsea. The Royals are minus 145 in Kansas City. The Brewers are plus 120. Your total is 8.5. Bryce Wilson goes for Milwaukee. Cole Reagans, the ace of the Royal staff, is towing the rubber for Kansas City. How do we make money here?
I like the Royals, but I don't like them at minus 145.
Yeah,
like, this is price dependent. Like, I think the Royals are a great team to take when they are plus money. When you are getting value on this team, that's the time to take them. I know Cole Reagans is really good, but still, like, minus 145 still seems a bit steep for a team that's not very good offensively speaking. It's a team that doesn't strike out a ton. Second lowest strikeout rate in all of baseball. But still, they're kind of pedestrian when it comes to their other numbers. You look at batting average, their bottom half and bottom 10 in all of baseball. So you look at a team that struggles to score, I don't really want to take that team at minus 145. Maybe you can make a case for them in the first five. I think that's the way that I would play this. But still, I think the number is what's throwing me off here. I don't want to play them as big favorites.
Yeah, I looked at Royals first five money line. That's minus 150. I don't know how I feel about this. Yeah, it's just a little too pricey for me. I like Kansas City here, and Kansas City's good at home. They won for me on Friday. They're 13-6 at Kauffman Stadium this year, but the Brewers can hit, and I'm like you. This is just a little too pricey for me. Also, if you're betting full game, I think the Brewers at plus money are probably a good bet here. The Royals have exhausted their relievers over the past couple games. The Brewers have not. So I can absolutely see a tight game early on, and then the Brewers maybe pull this game out late. Also, I like the under as well, 8 and hook. That feels like a touch too high to me. How about the Padres and the Cubs going at it today in Chicago, Chelsea? The Cubbies are minus 120 on the money line. The Pods are even money. Total set at 7. Yu Darvish going up against Justin, the Man of Steel for Chicago. We bet on him a lot last season. Are you doing it today?
I think I would look at a first five under here. And I'm not seeing the complete list of totals just yet over at BetMGM, probably because this game in Chicago is in Chicago. We have to wait on what's going on when it comes to the wind. But still, if anybody knows how to pitch in Chicago, it's probably Yu Darvish because he played for the Cubs. And Justin Steele, we know, is one of the more dependable pitchers over the course of last year. And this year he's been great, a 1.93 ERA. So I think it depends on what the price is of a first five under four, because the total in this one's really low. It's the full game is 7, but it's juiced to the over at minus 120. So this is price dependent. If we can get a 4 in the first five, I think that's the way you play it.
What am I going to do here? I think I'm going to go full game under. So I'm with you here. First five under I like, full game under I like. And look, it's a low total. I get that. But Justin Steele, very good in his first start of the season. That was back in late March. Now he's back from that hamstring injury. But we know the kind of pitcher he is. We saw this all last season. Yu Darvish coming off a shutout performance against the Reds last time out. I will say this. The only sabotage factor when it comes to Darvish is his worst performance of the season was on April 8th against these Cubs. He gave up 4 runs in 3 innings. So I don't necessarily think that happens tonight, but the number is telling you it's going to be a low-scoring game. That's where I'd go.
Yeah, I think so too. And like I said, we're not seeing adjusted and alternate totals just yet. But since the total is 7 and the over is minus 120, maybe we can get a decent price on bumping it up to 8 and hitting the under. I'm not sure. It really is price-dependent, though.
Well, that's what I'm doing for this next game. The Mariners are visiting the Twins. Mariners minus 135 on the money line. The Twins are plus 110. Your total is 7.5. Luis Castillo going for the M's. Simeon Woods Richardson is towing the rubber for Minnesota. I love the under here. I had money on Luis Castillo last time out, and he's been better than his numbers look. He's 3-4, 3.46 ERA, but he's coming off shutting out the Braves over 7 innings last week. Simeon Woods Richardson has been very good since being called up, 1-0, 2.45 ERA. At some point, he'll probably get touched up, but I don't know if these Mariners bats are going to be the guys that do it because they just don't hit for average. This is why Seattle is the best under team in all of Major League Baseball. They hit the under more than 76% of the time. Best under team, not even close. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bet this total up to 8 and then lay the juice at minus 130 to the under.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Every single trend points to the under here because along with the ones that you mentioned, The Mariners behind Luis Castillo in his starts, 5 straight unders when he toes the rubber. And also in the recent stretch, they've hit the under in 10 of their last 12. I know Minnesota is usually a team that can score some runs, but going against Luis Castillo, I think kind of evens the playing field here. And plus, if you look at the pitching matchup, maybe you have some qualms with Woods Richardson here, but also he's going against a Mariners offense. It's bottom 10 in just about every statistical category. So it's a little easier to face this Mariners lineup. So I think the under is a great call here. Maybe you stick with like a first 5 or a first 7, but you get a little bit more wiggle room if you're playing a full game and you bump it up to 8. So I like that a lot. I'm probably going to be tailing you.
All right, I am on that. That's going to be my one official play today, I believe. We have the Mets and the Cardinals going at it, Chels. Before we go to break here, the Cards are favorites at $1.25. The Mets are plus 105. Total is 8. You have a play or no?
I don't think so. I think I would lean towards the Cardinals here. This pitching matchup, it feels like it would be a good matchup like 3 years ago. Sean Manaea, Kyle Gibson, but both their numbers are actually pretty solid this year. So maybe I am sleeping on Kyle Gibson. Just to lean towards the Cardinals, though, don't really like that one a whole lot.
Fair enough. I'm going with Sean Manaea and the Mets because he's an Aquarius, and his horoscope says people will give you what you want today, providing they know what it is. You just tell your guys you need some run support, you're good to go with the Mets. Coming up next year on the show, the Nuggets look to even up their playoff series with the Timberwolves while trying to slow down Anthony Edwards. It is the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM.
The Daily Tip will be right back on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. With Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger on the BetQL Network.
Welcome back. The Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. She's Chelsea. I'm Jace. Coming up on the show, the world's most famous arena should be rocking tonight for game one between the Pacers and the Knicks. We will talk about the playoff schedule in the NBA this evening. 2 games on the slate. Chelsea, the nature boy has spoken. Ric Flair? Speaking out.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, what is Ric Flair fired up about? Well, apparently, he was in Gainesville last night at Paisano's Stone Fired Pizza and didn't have a great time. Of all the things you would think the Nature Boy's upset about. So this is from Ric Flair. Last evening, I spent $1,500 at Paisano's to be disrespected more than I ever have in my entire life. After taking 20 pictures with customers and staff, I was asked to leave because of an issue I had with the kitchen manager taking too long in the bathroom. I would highly recommend that anyone who wants to enjoy a relaxing time in Gainesville at a nice restaurant never visit this place. Woo! Well, what a fall. Who would have thought we'd be at the point in Ric Flair's career where he's like, that's it, I'm taking a stand. Not against Dusty Rhodes, against Paisano's Stone Fired Pizza in Gainesville. There you go.
Was this a Yelp review? Like, did he type out woo? Did he type out woo?
Oh, he did?
How many O's should we be using? A lot? 15 to 20?
You just hold down the O button until you feel like stopping and it works. You're good. It can't be one. It's got to be at least 2.
All right, let's dissect this, because how much money did you say he spent here?
$1,500. That's a good week at Paisano's. Yeah, in Gainesville. 8 locations throughout the Florida area, including Ocala.
Thanks for that plug. How do you even spend $1,500 at a pizza place unless you're buying for the entire restaurant? Like, what's the most top shelf thing you think they have? Like, everything pizza?
I'm trying to figure it out. My favorite comment is, I'm disappointed you can't respect a person needing time to have a long BM. Oh, God. Twitter's the worst. Love of God, guys. $1,500? I mean, that's like renting out Paisano's for the night. Ask the Nature Boy to leave? $1,500?
What were you ordering? I don't know. This is like spending like $50 at Taco Bell. It's really hard to do.
Right.
Like you have to have a huge order. But can you imagine the stress level of the kitchen manager, which like we've all been there, where you spend longer in the bathroom than you'd like to. But imagine Ric Flair is like on the other side of the door, just wooing. And you're like, oh, my God, it's not coming out. But he's wooing. I got to do something. Because like, I don't think this guy could help it. Like, maybe he could have. I don't know what he was doing in the bathroom. Maybe he was like just taking a smoke break or something. But that sounds very stressful to me. Isn't that the most stressful situation when you're in a public bathroom and like you're taking forever and you know the people outside the door are like judging you? You're like, oh, God, I'm sorry.
The pressure's on, man. And you see, you know, there's a line because you waited in line to get in. Oh, that's the absolute worst. You're like, oh, man, I got to. Sorry, guys. I feel like you just got to respect what's going on in there. Have you ever filed a complaint, written a terrible Yelp review, or could be a Google review? Like you were so stunned at how bad your experience was, you went online and you said, I'm going to tell people how bad this place is.
Oh, we've done it with the Dunkin' Donuts here because they never have donuts. Jay got so mad that he wrote a review. And listen, that boy is not doing any extra paperwork if he doesn't absolutely have to. And he has been so mad about this. And I understand they've changed their name from Dunkin' Donuts to just Dunkin'.
Yeah.
But this Dunkin' Donuts never has donuts. Like, do they just stop baking them? Like, I don't understand. And we were laughing because we were looking at the other reviews. And there was somebody who posted 10 days in a row and said, I went to Dunkin' Donuts today and they didn't have any donuts. Update. I went to Dunkin' Donuts again today. Still no donuts. He did this for 10 days in a row. So you would think that Dunkin' Donuts here in Hendersonville, Tennessee, would figure this out. But no.
So they're completely out of donuts?
I don't get it. Like, if you don't get there really early in the morning, like if you go in the afternoon, they never have donuts, which I understand. You probably sell more in the morning, but wouldn't you make more? This is like if Chick-fil-A ran out of chicken and they're just like, well, sorry, you should have gotten here earlier.
That's bizarre. You run out of donuts. How are they even open? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing.
I don't know.
Yeah. I stuck it to Bank of America last week. That made me feel good. Remember I told you that I cashed a check or someone cashed a check that I wrote them and it was for $175 for a refrigerator repair and it was cashed for $1,750? And
ooh.
So, yeah, it went through. It wasn't even processing. I woke up the next morning. I'm like, I checked my bank account. I'm like, what the hell? Where did my money go? So I'm like, oh. So I call Bank of America just to let them know, hey, this is incorrect. It's already been processed. But just so you know, this needs to be corrected. And then they charge me $60 in stop check fees. I'm like, guys, number one, you didn't stop anything. It had already processed. Number two, you charged me twice. What in the world is going on? So I'm losing money based on a processing error on your end, and me calling out that error means I pay an extra $60. Like, what are you talking about? So anyway, I challenged it last week. I called this customer service rep who was very good. She goes, why were you being charged for these things? I go, that is an excellent question. That's why I'm calling. She goes, we didn't stop anything. And why are you being charged twice? I go, this is exactly my issue. She goes, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to file a complaint here. We're going to file basically fighting these charges, and then you'll get a written response within 24 hours. And in 24 hours, I got a response. You are correct, sir. We are taking these charges off your account. Stuck it to the man last week, Chelsea. Felt good.
Ooh, it always feels good to be right. But at least you ran across somebody who is at least nice.
They were
because
nice.
A lot of times, that's not the case, especially with those big corporations. So lucky for you. And what was that person thinking? Like, do you think they did this on purpose, like trying to sneak one past you?
Yes.
The refrigerator people?
No, I think that was an actual mistake. I think Bank of America was trying to sneak one past me. Like, two charges that are invalid for a single transaction. Because you know how it is. Listen, if you don't look at your bank statement enough, you'll see charges. They'll sneak it in. And then you may never even notice it. So you have to be sort of vigilant about that, I feel like. The guy, I did text him. I'm like, hey, your check was way off. He goes, I'm really sorry. It was corrected immediately. So it's self-corrected within a few hours, but I still don't know. I still don't know if I'm going to go back to that place again. So we'll see about that. At least I got the cash back. That's the important thing. And now, since I have this cash, Chelsea, I can bet on the NBA tonight because we have game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Pacers at the Knicks. Knicks laying 5.5 points. The Knicks are minus 225. The Pacers are plus 180. Your total is 217.5. What is the play tonight at MSG?
I think we're going to be on opposite sides here because I think I'm going to be on a total here and I'm leaning towards the under here. Okay. 217.5, it seems like a low total for a Pacers game, but I think it's a low, it's a high total for a Knicks team that is a much better defense than what the Pacers saw against Milwaukee. I don't know if you'd even call that a defense. Of course, they were without most of their best players for most of that series. So I think who's controlling the pace here is going to be the Knicks. This is a really tough defensive squad. And if you look at the totals in some of their games, I know they've gone over, but these totals have been really low. Against the Sixers, we had 202, 204, 209, 205, and 206, and 208. So I think this is a really high total for a New York Knicks team that I think controls the tempo here. Plus, I think that the Pacers will have some trouble adjusting in the first half. Like, think about it. Like, going from the Bucks to the Knicks, that is an extreme change in styles of play. So I'll go full game under here for the Knicks and the Pacers.
Ooh, I'm going to be on the opposite side here. I like the over here. I think the Pacers, I would feel better about this bet if it were in Indiana because the Pacers were a very good over team when playing at home. But I believe this number is a touch too high. God, I don't have the confidence to bet on either game in the NBA tonight, but I do think the Pacers can maybe keep it within 5.5 points. So along those same lines, I do think we'll see maybe an increased pace of play. And the Pacers, again, have been an over team all season long. They were also 2-1 straight up and against the number when facing the Knicks this season. So if they want to win this game, if they want to stay within the number, then they're going to have to put up points. That would make me lean towards the over. So I think that's where I'm going to go, but it's not going to be an official bet, Chelsea. These NBA games, I have to have a super, super strong feel before I'm going to go in on a particular bet.
Well, and also I think it's not a terrible idea to wait till the second game of the series. Like, kind of see how these teams match up, see how the pace is, see how the styles clash, and then maybe you bet on the second game of the series, which I guess would give me no excuse not to bet on the Nuggets and T-Wolves game tonight. But honestly, I don't feel great about that one either, simply because of the number. I think we have both agreed that we think we see a better game from the Nuggets tonight. But 5.5, that makes me shake my head a little bit. It's a lot of points for a really good T-Wolves team.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to lean Nuggets because I feel like this will be a great place for the Nuggets to respond. They have to respond tonight, and they've got to get off to better starts. We've talked about that. Mike Malone has been very vocal about that. He told us, guys, what are you waiting on, guys? Like, at what point do you get into the playoffs and you say, maybe now is the time to start coming out with your hair on fire? Like, maybe now is the time to start taking this seriously from the jump, because it cost us this last game. Yeah, we got back in it, but we expended so much energy trying to get back in it after falling behind. We were done at the end of the game. And the Timberwolves went nuts, 18-7 run, I believe, and the game was tied at 84 in the second half. But also, the Timberwolves shot 71% in the second half of that game, and they're not going to do that again. However, this is a good Timberwolves team. I'm going to lay it with Denver. That's going to be my lean. I think they get off to a quick start tonight. I think Nikola Jokic does a better job of holding on to the basketball. We'll see if the Nuggets D can contain Ant Edwards a little bit. And they've got to have more production from Jamal Murray as well. I think those things happen tonight. So I will lean Denver. But Chelsea, you're not wrong. The Timberwolves, I believe across the board, are better than the casual better. The general public is giving them credit for. This is going to be one of those teams, I believe, as this series goes on, everyone's going to take stock and say, oh, wow, the Timberwolves could win the entire thing.
Well, yeah, the Timberwolves are favored to win the series now. They're minus 120 to win this series against the Nuggets, and they're actually the favorites to win the Western Conference as of now over at BetMGM. If you want them, they're 2-1. But I do think this is a team that's not going to run out of steam. Anthony Edwards is, what, 22 years young? And they're an especially deep team. They have the NBA Sixth Man of the Year in Naz Reid, who was especially big in the fourth quarter last game. But like you said, I feel like there are several things that are not repeatable that we saw from game one. Like you mentioned, the T-Wolves shooting 71% from the field in the second half. Nikola Jokic having 7 turnovers. He's probably not going to do that again. And Jamal Murray being held scoreless in the first half of last game. So I feel like there are several areas in which the Nuggets can improve here. And also the mental thing of just not starting these games quickly. Like, it feels like the Warriors problem back when they were really good. They always felt in the back of their minds that they could kind of Cadillac a little bit. And eventually they're such a good team that they could come together and win it. But I don't think the Nuggets can do that here against this Timberwolves team that is very, very talented. So I do think they get it together. You cannot go down 0-2 in this series playing the first two games at home. Like, I don't want to say this is a must win because it certainly isn't for the Nuggets. But it feels like a big game.
Yes, it's a huge game. The Minnesota Timberwolves are good enough that if they get the Nuggets, as good as the Nuggets are, if they get the Nugs down 0-2 in this series, Denver is in trouble. I hate saying, oh, it's a must win, it's a must win. But doesn't it kind of feel that way for the Nuggets just because of how talented and deep Minnesota is?
Yeah, it should be. It should have an urgent feeling to it for this Nuggets team. So we will see. This is a very important game for this series in Denver. As for a total here, 205.5, does this seem low to you? Like, I know it's two great defenses.
Yeah.
But if we are thinking that we see a better effort from the Nuggets here, do we think we see more points? Or do you say, well, also the T-Wolves shot 71% from the field in the second half. Maybe that goes down. 205.5? It's really low.
I'm going to the under. I think we see like a 98-91 game, something like that.
Ooh.
Focus on defense, old school. Nuggets were a great under team. I believe the Nuggets weren't they the best under team in basketball this season in the NBA? I believe they were. So they tend to play really good defensive basketball at their best. They're going to need to do that tonight. So I would lean under, Chelsea. Coming up next here on the show, our bets have been hitting after Chelsea returned from Europe. We got to try to keep that good luck going as we head into another week. That is next on the Daily Tip from BetQL. It is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Stay there.
The Daily Tip will be right back on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. With Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger on the BetQL Network.
Welcome back to the show. There's a Daily Tip for BetQL presented by BetMGM. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. We have your best bets locked and loaded here on this show. Chelsea, it's a new week. You're back in Nashville now. You had a great weekend. You got to see Morgan Wallen in concert as well. Well, what are you doing today on a Monday?
Ooh, well, nothing planned. It is raining, but maybe I'm going to go down to the garden center and get me some new flowers. I've had my eye on a Peggy Martin rose that I want to plant in front of the house. So that's what I'm up to these days. I have been frequenting these garden centers, me along with the rest of like the 75-year-old women. So that's like my new hobby these days. We lived in a high rise for so long that I never had my own garden and my own yard. So now I am fully leaning into being an old lady gardener.
Wait, what was the name of this flower again?
Peggy Martin Rose.
What's a Peggy Martin Rose? Now, I was a big fan of, you know, the Peggy Jones Rose, which I think was like the initial rose. What's the Peggy Martin Rose?
Well, let me tell y'all about it. It is a climbing rose. So it will climb on trellises. It does this really pretty thing where it can reach like 15 or 20 feet. And it's really famous because apparently when Hurricane Katrina was happening, this famous gardener had this Peggy Martin rose. I think her name was Peggy Martin. I think that's why they named it Peggy Martin. She had this climbing rose. And after the hurricane, her house was in like 20 feet of water. And weeks later, this rose survived. Like, this rose was still going, like, after the water cleared. So that's why, like, gardeners really like it, because it is very easy to take care of. It is very hard to kill it. So that's why I want it. It's very pretty and it climbs.
And it's hard to kill. That's the kind of plant I would go with. Something that's difficult to make die, because I'm not a good gardener. I don't have a green thumb at all. I feel like you are sort of someone who, I think over the course of this show, you've proven that you're someone who likes to work with your hands, right? You're out in the garden. You're looking at the grass now that you actually have a home and you're not in a high rise like you were talking about.
Yeah, well, because normally I would just help my mom take care of her place. She lives on 23 acres. So, like, she has a lot of stuff to take care of. And she is 74 and lives by herself. So, like, I was helping out a lot. But I enjoy doing, like, some sorts of manual labor. I think it's the before and after effect, to where you can put a lot of time and effort into something and it can look a lot better. Like, who doesn't love a makeover? So it's like a makeover for your yard.
Oh, a makeover for the yard. I like that. I've said this before. I grew up all the time working in the yard, pulling weeds, mowing, weed eating, edging, raking, bagging the grass. I did so much of that as a kid. I'm like, I'm never doing that again, ever. If I ever move out of the city somewhere and I have a yard, I still won't. Maybe I'll go outside every now and then, you know, I'll get the zero turn radius riding lawnmower and I'll ride around like old school. But I'm probably just going to have to pay somebody to do it. I'm too scarred from my childhood. I told you we won yard of the month. Oh, it was the worst. Everybody coming by.
That doesn't sound like the worst.
It
was.
That
sounds awesome.
Oh, no. In a small town, what are you going to do? How about we get in the car and go look at the yard of the month? I swear to God, we'd be looking outside our window and then there'd just be a car rolling by. Just rolling by the road, they drive away. Then a few minutes later, another car rolling by, and they all wanted to see the yard of the month. Big sign right in the middle of the yard, the Breckenridge Chamber of Commerce Yard of the Month. And then, of course, we got a sign in your yard, Chelsea. What does that mean? That means every, like, 2 or 3 days you're out there curating everything, making sure it looks great for all the passersby. Ugh, never again. Never again.
Yeah. Heavy is the head that wears the crown for yard of the month. But Jenks, now you're preoccupied by what, that shower? Did you ever get that shower fix?
Yes.
Is that done?
It's done. 2 years. It took 2 years to find that leak. I'm not kidding. It took 2 years. Yes, it's done. And then last thing I'll say, knock on wood, we had an HVAC meeting. And the condo association has approved verbally, we need one more vote via email, has approved verbally to fix the HVAC problem on our roof. So finally, in about 2 months now, it's already scheduled, I will finally be able to get a decent night's sleep without vibrations like rocking our walls. Oh, thank God. I can't even put into words what a relief this is. I've been sleep deprived for like 6 months.
Ooh, well, I am manifesting that this happens quickly for you, if that means anything. I know we're not a big manifesting show, but, like, I don't know what else to do. But that sucks, and I'm glad at least you have some hope for
I do. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. People were very empathetic. The girl who lives below us was like, hey, can I ask a question? Can they do anything for you in the interim until they can fix this? This sounds terrible. And I was like, that is so nice of you to say. There's not. I just have to take it, but all is well now. I was going to give out my address. All's well in D.C. Let's not do that. Here's my social security number while we're at it. Coming up next on BetQL Daily, Reid Wallach from BetSide will join the crew. If you missed our conversation about the roast of Tom Brady, we got your back. You can check out that segment and more by downloading and subscribing to The Daily Tip. Wherever you get your podcast, it's money making time.
Time to place your bets.
We begin with Chelsea Messenger. 4-2 last week. Nothing but winners over the past few weeks. What do you have for us today?
All right. Best bet of the day is going to be on the team with the best record in all of baseball. That's right. The Philadelphia Phillies right now sitting at 24-11. So the way we're going to play them today is in the first five, minus a half run in the first five innings. Like I said, that's minus 140 behind their best pitcher. Zach Wheeler towing the rubber for the Phils today. If you look at him, he's had a fantastic start to the season. And also, this recent stretch, he has allowed a total of one earned run over his last 18 and a third innings of work. The Phillies also hot as well, winners of seven of their last eight games, including last night against this very Giants team. And also, they have been fantastic in the first five innings. If you're looking at teams to play in the first five innings, Philly, the third best run scoring offense in the first half of games. Meanwhile, you look at this Giants team, guess who's the worst team in the first five innings? That would be San Francisco. I know it can be tempting to back Mason Black, who's making his MLB debut for the Giants tonight. He has great numbers in AAA, but still, AAA is a little different than playing in the big boy leagues against this Philly lineup. So let's take the best team in baseball in the first five innings. Phillies minus a half run in the first five innings, minus 140 is my best.
Oh, man, that's a great bet. I want to tell you on that. I need to add that to my card. I'm going to go Mariners at Twins under 8, minus 130. Bumping this up from 7 and a hook and going to the under. Luis Castillo going for the M's. Semien Woods-Richardson going for Minneapolis. Castillo has been great, particularly recently when he shut down the Braves over 7 innings last week. Semien Woods-Richardson has also been solid since being called up. 1-0, a 2.45 ERA. He'll get touched up at some point, but this Mariners lineup is not the lineup to do it. And Seattle, the best under team in baseball, hitting the under more than 76% of the time. Under 8 is the play in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's going to be a squad play day because I like that one as well.
All
Luis
right.
Castillo, when pitching for the Mariners, 5 straight unders for the squad when he is pitching. All right, so time to bring in the third member of our Best Bets crew, the Magic 8-Ball.
Let us gaze upon the glorious Magic 8-Ball. Shall it fade or tail these noble bettors?
All right, 8-Ball, let's make it snappy. All right, play of the day for me is going to be the Phillies in the first five minus a half run for minus 140 against the Giants. Most likely, says the 8-Ball.
Hey.
All right. How about the other squad play? That's going to be the Mariners Twins under 8. Do we like it? 8-Ball says, I need an answer. Ask again later. God, 8-Ball. Let's have an answer. Outlook not so good. Well, there's an answer, but we don't love it, but whatever.
We don't love it. But we do love streaming on Twitch, and you can check out Chelsea Shake and the 8-Ball. You can check out all of our shows in the BetQL network, twitch.tv/BetQL. Chelsea's also with me on Mariners Twins, so we got to see what the donkster has in mind. It is your BetQL 5-star best bet for the trends, analysis, insight, articles you need to have all of the information to win your bets. Just download the BetQL app. All right, Donkster, get on in here. We got to get to Chris, so make this quick. Go ahead and give us your plays.
Good morning. I watched the roast of Tom Brady, and now I'm going to roast everyone. Dad, Your hair is all over the place. Is this show being hosted by a Chia Pet?
Yeah. Nice, Donkster.
Chelsea! Your name is missing an E.
Oh, that's
good
not
one.
Donkster.
I also have a roast. I have a roast for Chris Mack. Chris, what's your problem?
That's it?
That's it? That's all he's got?
What's your problem? I don't know. Okay.
What's your problem, Donkster?
I don't know. What are you doing?
Talking stuffed animal? Take swipes at me?
Chris, Padres or Cubs? Over 7.
Okay. He's not an intellectual, Chris. He's not an intellectual. No. I don't know what your problem means, but.
Better or worse, Donkster or Gronk last night?
Oh, God. I think.
What I was going to say.
I think Gronk.
Equal chance of reading the prompter.
Oh, my God. Okay. How you doing, Chris? Did you watch
great.
The roast?
I watched part of it. I saw the very end live. And then I rewound and watched like the Kevin Hart and Jeff Ross parts, which big beef with me is when you're at a roast and someone can't handle, being roasted, which like Brady, sit down. Let him tell all the Bob Kraft massage jokes he wants to. It's a roast.
Right.
Yeah, they were making jokes about OJ, who's literally dead. And they were making jokes about Aaron Hernandez. Like, if there's ever a joke that felt out of bounds, like, those felt like it. But you're right. Seriously. I think Tom Brady thought he could handle it, but you could tell he was, like, seething inside.
The Giselle like, stuff really playing, got to him.
Oh, yeah.
With the karate teacher.
He looked mad.
Oh,
those were low.
It's a roast.
Too soon.
It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be mean.
Yeah, that's. And I agree with you. To see him go up to Jeff Ross and be like, don't say that again. I was like, oh, yeah. Really? Like, this is the hill you're going to
die on? What are you going to do about it?
Seriously. Yeah, what did you think was going to happen, man? Yeah.
Beat me up with your avocado hands? I mean, come on.
Chris, sorry about the insult. I'll talk to the Donkster.
All right, I should have handled it better. My bad, Donkster.
That's it for us here on the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. She's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Thanks for starting your week with us. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow. You know how we do it, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. Have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. If you missed any of the show, listen back anytime on the new and improved Odyssey app.